Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. You know, I was standing over there just worshiping like all of you, and I just heard so big in my heart that mountains still move. How many of you know we serve a God who can still move mountains? And I want to encourage you, you don't have to allow fear to torment your life or to mess with your mind. No. You can always have faith in your heart with worry in your head. But with that, you have to allow that faith to arrest that worry and not allow that worry to arrest your faith. No, you have to allow your faith to rise up and just slap fear down. Just straight up, just slap it down. Don't allow fear to stay in your mind. You are children of the Most High God. God can change anything. He can do anything. We serve a God who can split seas. And I just want to encourage you to lift up your voice of faith. And in spite and in the midst of the fear, speak what you believe in your heart. Years ago, the Lord spoke something to my heart. He said, use worry as a reminder. You know, worry is just constant. When doubt and fear and insecurity and all of that just bombards our mind, it can be just so destructive to our hearts. And the Lord said, use it against itself. Every time it comes with that thought, you answer it with what you believe in your heart. You say the opposite of whatever the worry is. If the worry is you're not going to make it, say, I always make it. If the worry is you're going to fail this time, no, thanks be to God who always gives me the victory in Christ Jesus. You'll never have the money. Nope, my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Answer that worry just like Jesus answered Satan on that mount of temptation, and watch what God can do in your life. Mountains still move. We serve a God who can do the impossible. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, before we do anything else at all, let me pray with you and for you, and let's just ask the Lord to help us today. Father, we are here today. We rejoice in you. We yield to you. We take this moment, Father, and we just say, have your way. Allow our hearts to be strengthened by your Spirit and by your Word. Give us boldness. Give us utterance. Father, I would ask that everything that needs to be said today is said. That everything that doesn't need to be said is not said. We don't want any filler. We don't want any empty words. We want every one of them to be significant. We want every one of them to be on target and planned. And Father, we just ask you that by your Holy Spirit, that you would just target each and every one of our hearts and speak to us directly everything that we need to hear. Father, we love you, Lord, so much today. We'll always be quick to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For Lord, you and you alone are worthy. And Father, you and you alone deserve the praise. So we pledge, Lord, we will be quick to give it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to someone today. Tell them how glad you are to see them. Give them a high five or a hug or shake their hand. If you know them, you can kiss them if you want to. That's just between you and the person you know. Don't kiss anyone you don't know, though. That's called assault. You don't want to do that. But with that, we're delighted to have you here at Word of Life Church today. I believe God's got something directly for us. Now, let me ask you, how many of you normally attend the 10 o'clock service, but because you just woke up early today and you just woke up early and you forgot about the time change, and with that, you just had enough energy to make the 8:30? Any of you normally do that? Any? Okay, we got a couple of hands. I see that. Well, we're glad to have you here at our early service, the 8:30 service. We're super excited that you made it. Congratulations if you're an Alabama fan last night. That was a well-fought game. LSU fans, I tell you what, that was a stout defense. I went to bed during the third quarter because I had to wake up. But with that, I heard it was a good game. And then yesterday, all the state fans, where did that come from?
Mississippi State. Wow, knocking off Texas A&M. But anyway, football season is always fun. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to start just at the very beginning, Genesis 1 and verse 1, here in a minute. And if you can cut me up a smidge in my monitors as well, that would be great. This past weekend, Thursday night, I went to Fondren First Thursday. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever made Fondren First Thursday. It's kind of an eclectic thing that community does every first Thursday. They have different vendors and different booths and all of those things kind of set up. And the reason why I went was, one, I went to see what was going on. I'd never been before. But two, we had a booth there. Our church had a booth there for our new college-age ministry called Cruise, and it's not just for college. Yeah, we got a couple of people in Cruise, but in the service today. But with that, it's not just a college type community. It's a community for creatives, and we really wanted to just find a way to get people who are young and creative or creative, just period, and get them together and to let them have fellowship over the Word of God. So they meet every Tuesday. We call it City Takeover, and they meet in Brandon, they meet in Flowood, they meet in Jackson. They meet over in the Ridgeland, Madison area, and it's just neat seeing what God is doing there. So I went out there to support them and to just kind of be at the booth and to see what I could help with. And our idea for the booth to get people to interact with us was we had a whiteboard like this set up, and in fact, it was this very board, over on the left-hand side of the tent, and we have an artist in our church. I call him Mr. Friday. His last name is Friday. Is that not like the greatest last name ever? I mean, the last name Friday, what a great last name. But anyway, he created a piece of artwork, and basically on the whiteboard, all he had written on it was the word create, create. And what we were getting people to do was to come up and draw anything that they wanted. And they could come up and, you know, just whatever came to mind with all the different colors, and we had big markers and small markers. They could draw or write anything that they wanted. And it was fascinating to me to see what people drew, but it was also fascinating to see what people wrote. And with it being political season, some of it was not too kind, not too nice. We made a point to witness to those people. But with that, we were going to put, like, what the artwork that was created up, but it was an open-ended. You could draw anything that you wanted. And so there were a couple of things on there that we didn't want to put in the church house. Anyway, it was neat and fascinating to interact with the community on that level and saw some neat things happen. But anyway, I saw the word create, and I was talking to the guy who helps with our college department, who's on staff. He's one of the guitar players here. I call him Mr. Willie. He's just a fantastic gentleman. We're glad to have him here on staff. But I asked him what his goal was, how he came up with it, and he said, I noticed in Scripture that the first verb in all of the Bible was the word create. I thought, that's interesting. The first verb in all of the Bible is the word create. And I thought that that was fascinating, but I also knew, I need to check that out. You know, you trust, but you always verify. I pulled up my Bible app later that night and went to Genesis and just said, okay, let me try to see if I can find the first verb. I'll let you go there with me. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And sure enough, the first verb in all of Scripture is the word create. Now, here's what was neat to me in watching people interact with our board. Now, once again, they could draw anything that they wanted. They could do anything they wanted on the board. The board was just say, you know, unleash your imagination and create something. And what shocked me was how hesitant people were to do it. The only people who were not hesitant to get on the board was what type of people? Anybody want to take a guess? Kids, exactly, children, and there's such a spiritual lesson there, that with this, these kids would approach it without fear, without hesitation, and with a whole bunch of imagination, and just draw horses and dogs and all of these types of things. They would create these things. But what fascinated me was how many of adults were hesitant, and they were hesitant for, I found, two primary reasons, and kind of a third, but the first one being is they didn't want to mess it up. Like, create already looked pretty good, and so they're like, I'm not an an artist, you know, I don't really want to mess it up. Where the kids, they were just going right after it. I mean, just bold. They didn't care if they messed up. In fact, I think many of them, their goal was to mess it up. But with this, these adults would see it, I don't want to mess it up. And it's like, you can't mess it up. The goal is for you to just create something. Just create. Have fun. Unleash your imagination. And just create. So if we could get them over that hurdle, that fear of failure, that fear of messing it up, that fear of what I draw won't be good enough, if we could get them over that hurdle, then the second thing that they said was, we don't know what to draw. Like, we don't know what to put on there. And we said, anything. You can put anything you want up there. Well, I don't know what. Anything you want to put up there, you can put up there. Any words you want, any phrase you want, a poem, anything you want. If you want to draw, draw. Anything you want, put it up there. So once they picked what they wanted, the third hurdle was, well, I don't know how. Like, I want to draw a horse, but I don't know how to draw a horse. And we just said, it's not a matter of drawing like a neat horse. We don't expect you to be Thomas Kincaid or any of these types of things. Just draw a horse. And it doesn't matter if it's like a stick figure horse. Just get on the board and create something. And so if we could get them over that fear of failure, if we could find something that they wanted to draw, tap into that passion and desire to see something come up on the board, and if we could get them to say, it doesn't matter if you don't know how, just go, just do it, then they would find that they could unleash their creativity on this board. Now, here's why I bring all of that up. I think what God is saying to us and has been saying since the beginning of time is create. In fact, one of the very first commands that God gave mankind was create life. Bring about creation. Don't just enjoy creation, make a creation. And there's a part of all of us, especially as children, that we love creating things. We love crafting things. We love building things, whether it's Legos or building a fort or turning pillows over into a fortress or any of these other things that we did when we're kids. We have all of this imagination. We have all of these dreams, and we go about to create a world, to create a kind of life. But what's fascinating, as the older we get, what we run into is we don't really feel like we know what we're doing. We have this fear of failure, and we have this fear of I'm not going to be good enough, and so we don't even attempt to create. Like many of us, we just let other people create our life for us, and we let other people kind of plan it, and we let other people kind of script it, and we just kind of go according to the rigmarole of things and the pattern of life, and God is saying, whoa, 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 I designed you to be a creative. I designed you to create a spectacular life. And so with that, if we can get you over that fear of that failure, that you're not going to mess it up, the goal is not perfection, the goal is just creation. If you'll tap over into that source of God, then you'll find you can unleash this amazing life. If we can get people over into that, the next thing is they don't know what. And I think what God is saying to us today is this, if you'll put it up on the screens, I think what God is saying to us today is create. And we're coming to God saying, well, what do we create? And God is saying to us, what do you want? It's amazing how many scriptures that talk about this, that you can have the desires of your heart. And what's fascinating is the more people I pastor and the more people I parent, we have three in our kid collection. I think our kid collection is done, though. But it's fascinating how each one of my children, they want something different. There's something different in their heart that they want. And I think oftentimes God gives us the desires of our heart, and he leads us through those desires, that there's something in us that desires something great. And whether it's a great marriage or a family or to get out of debt or health or healing, God leads us through those desires. And so what I'm asking you is, what do you really want? What is it that you have in your heart that you really want in your life? We said this last week, but it's so true. Faith demands a target. The whole goal of faith is to create substance to the thing you're hoping for. But if you don't have anything you're hoping for, faith has nothing to work with. So you have to set down on paper, this is what I want God. Right here, this is what I want you to create. This is what I want my life to look like. And somebody says, well, it's big. It doesn't matter. It looks like my education couldn't take me there. It doesn't matter. You're not limited by your education. Well, it doesn't look like my money and my resources could never get me there. It doesn't matter. You're not limited by your money or resources. You know, the only thing that limits anyone in this life is simply one thing. It is faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. All things are possible unto him that believe. And so the enemy works in all of our lives to get us to doubt. Doubt ourselves, doubt others, doubt God, so that we stop creating and we settle for the life that we have. Friend, God says, the just shall live by faith. And I don't care if you're 120 in here, you've got another mountain to climb. As long as you have breath in your lungs, there is something you are to be creating for God. God says, create. And so what I want to get at today is how. How do I go about creating things? How do I allow and unleash my faith and my vision to create a better life for me, for my community, for my nation? How do I go about creating? Now, what's fascinating is when I studied Genesis, I found this out about God. How did God create? Now, this is important, and we'll come back to this later in the message, I do believe, for us to make it practical for us. But I noticed with God, there was this progression. Is number one, he had it in his heart. He had it in his heart. I tell you, so many people I'll sit down with and counsel, and I'm doing this, I'm trying to do it at least, more and more with younger people, and they just coming to them and say, what do you want? Like, honestly, what do you want? Well, what do you mean, what do you want? What do you mean? What do you want? 5 to 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. What do you want? What do you have in your heart? And you know what? Most people have never sat down to really meditate on that question themselves. I want to ask you to do that. I want to ask you to take some time and ask yourself, honestly, and maybe you do it over a vacation. I heard a man who I just love and just honor so much, Rick Eaton, tell this to me about a year ago. He said, rest and revelation go hand in hand. I believe that. Rest and revelation go hand in hand. When you get quiet, that's when God speaks. And so maybe you take a little break, 3 or 4 days, and you just ask yourself, you know what? What do I really want in life? Is my life really going in the direction I want it to go in? The first thing that God had in creation was he knew what he wanted. He had it in his heart. Then he said it with his mouth. Then he saw it with his eyes. He had it in his heart. He said it with his mouth. He saw it with his eyes. Now, you'll see this progression. Don't just take my word for it. You'll see it in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Let's start reading again. In verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. What this simply is a blank canvas. This is what this is. It's a blank canvas, and God can design anything that he wants. And he knows that for this creation to happen, he's got a critical element. It's the same element you have. He's got the Holy Spirit waiting on his words. And as soon as the Holy Spirit hears those words, he goes like a master artist to begin designing what the Father is speaking. He's got a blank canvas, and he's got the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, I'm telling you, if you're a child of the Most High God, you have the same thing. You have a blank canvas. Your past is washed away. You've got a new life recreated in Christ Jesus. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and you have a blank canvas. And watch what God does with this blank canvas. Verse 3, and God, you can underline it, highlight it, I've done both. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. Now, I've drawn an arrow in between verse 3 and verse 4 to show me, notice the connection, when God said, God saw. When God said, God saw. God saw what God said because the Spirit of the living God was carrying out God's words. Blank canvas. He knew what he wanted on it, because you can see how detailed God gets all throughout Genesis chapter 1. He knew what he wanted, and he started speaking that with his mouth, and like a brushstroke of an artist, he started drawing that on that blank canvas. He started creating this world that we're in. How many of you know we didn't come from a Big Bang? We are not, this beautiful world we live in is not a result of a big explosion somewhere. It cracks me up, people who mock people who have faith in God. Like, how could you believe in a God you can't see? And I'm like, well, what do you believe in? Well, the Big Bang. How can you believe in a Big Bang? You could take nuts and bolts and metal and a steel frame and all of those things, put it in a closed container, put some C4 in there, blow it up a million times over, and you'll never open up the door and say, wow, a Mercedes. That will never happen, ever, ever, ever. In a million years will that ever, you can try it over and over and over again. You will never open it up and say, Alexis, it's never going to happen. Someone intelligently designed that car with those pieces. And friend, I'm telling you, you can't look at your body and look at the blood vessels in it and look at the brain and look at the bones and the cartilage and the ligaments and then look at how the earth functions and say, this was just a result of some big explosion that produced perfectly functioning human beings and fish and birds and all of these amazing things. God created it. But how did he create it? He knew what he wanted. He had it in his heart. He said it with his mouth, and he saw it with his eyes. All throughout Genesis, you see this played out. Let's keep reading here just for fun. Where you can see, it continues. Verse 6, we'll just look at the headings of each one. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Notice verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Notice verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. Verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 26, and we'll read the whole part of this, and God said, this is the key verse, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God makes all of this creation by following this blueprint. He has it in his heart. He's saying it with his mouth. He's seeing it with his eyes. He creates this big, beautiful world and universe we live in. And then he turns to himself and says, we need to make man. Well, how are we going to make him? Just like us. After our own image, after our own likeness. My daughter, she's getting into art, and in her art class, they've been teaching her about the artist in New Orleans who does the Blue Dogs, and so they're showing them all the contemporary artists and all of those types of things. So she's taken to, like, drawing this dog herself and some of the images and the paintings she's seen, and she's getting pretty good at it, I must say. So anyway, I'm watching her do this, and what she's doing is she'll take an image, and then she'll create one, another image, after the image she saw. So she has this image, and she's creating an image over here that is trying to make it as paralleled as possible to the image she is seeing. So when you looked at it, it almost looks like a duplicate. Now, it doesn't have all the paint in it, but as far as the sketching of everything, it's made in its image and in its likeness. Very, very similar. So when God turns around and makes us, he makes us like himself, which means what? If you get it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, good or bad, you will see it with your eyes. If you get it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, You will see it with your eyes. Here's what I know without a doubt for every person in here, and you can debate whether or not this is true, but I think I could win this debate, just even from a natural standpoint, not even a biblical one. But here's what I know with certainty is everyone in here, your words and your life match. Your words and your life match. Your words about your marriage and your marriage, they match. Your words about your kids and how your kids actually are, they match. Your words about your health and your health, they match. It just seems like always, about this time of year, I just come down with this. This in May. Your words and your health, they match. I guarantee it. Your words about your self-discipline and your self-discipline, they match. Your words about your finances and your finances, they match. Your words and your life match. Now, what we could debate on is this, is why that is. Because most people, especially if you're a logical thinker, and typically people are either logical thinkers or emotional feelers, there's some who can be a little bit of both. But with this, if you're a logical thinker in here, you would come up with the conclusion that the reason why my words and my life match is this. My words describe my life. Like, I see it, and then I say it. So, like, if after service someone said, well, how was service today? I would begin describing service as, man, it was fantastic. Man, it was great. Pastor Joel brought, I'm speaking by faith there, obviously. But with this, you would describe what you just saw, what you just felt, what you just heard, what you just saw, you would describe it. And so our kids are acting a certain way. We put them to bed, and me and my wife get together, and we talk about it. And when we talk about it, typically what most people talk about is what they just saw. So my words and my life therefore match, because I use my words to describe my past and to describe my present. And I will not debate with you on that point, that with that, I am certain that you probably do use your words to describe your life, and that's why your words and your life match. But according to Scripture, here's what happens. My words not only have the power to describe my life, they have the power also to create my life. My words not only are capable of describing my life, my words are actually responsible for creating it. So here's what generally happens in our lives. We see it, and then we say it, and then we see it, and then we say it, and then we see it, and then we say it over and over and over again. So we're constantly describing our life, but then our life is constantly staying the same way we are describing it. Because God knows, and so does Satan, because he's been around for thousands of years watching this process play out, that if he can get you talking about what you see, you will never see anything different. If he can get you calling it the way it is, it will always stay exactly the same. So God invents this principle found in Romans and revealed in the life of Abraham. Instead of calling it the way it is, why don't you call those things that be not as though they were? Why don't you call it the way you want it and not the way it is? Why don't you talk about your marriage like it is fantastic? Why don't you talk about your kids like they are great? Why don't you talk about yourself like you are disciplined? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the redeemed of the Lord talk about their redemption. Let them talk about how good God is, how faithful he is, how he redeemed me from brokenness and took me to a place. I was a beggar, and he set me with princes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I will say of the Most High God, he is my refuge and my fortress and ever-present help in a time of trouble. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, here's what happens, and you can put my next screen up. We see and say, and then see more of what we say. We see what we see and say, and then see more of what we say. What I want to do is break the cycle. Break the cycle. Instead of seeing and then describing what you see and then only seeing more of that, break the cycle and say what you want to see, not what you see. Say what you want to see about your health, not what you see. Say what you want to see about our nation, not what you see. Say what you want to see in our political system, not what you see. Walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Don't let sight influence your words. Let desire influence your words. Speak from this place, not from this place. Does that make sense? Say what you want to see. How will you create? It's the same process. How will you create? You'll get it in your heart. You'll say it with your mouth. You'll see it with your eyes. If you get it in your heart, and you say it with your mouth, you'll see it with your eyes. Now, always, whenever I'm writing a message, I not only look for doctrine, but I look for people in Scripture who actually lived out that doctrine, because people remember stories. So there's many examples in Scripture of people saying what they saw and then seeing more of that, or calling something like Abraham that they don't see the way they want it and seeing it in their life. But there, to me, is no better example of this than the children of Israel over in the book of Numbers. So let's go look at this book of Numbers. And if you can leave this up on the screen, we'll read it. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. But if you can just leave what we have on the screen up, that'd be great. We're going to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Here the children of Israel are on their way into the promised land, and before they go into it, they want to find, well, which way are we going to attack? And because there's all these walled cities and all of these other things. So they do something that on the surface would appear very wise, but it actually backfires on them. They send 12 spies over into the land. Two of these spies being two fantastic men of faith, Joshua and Caleb. And with this, they send these 12 spies over into the land, and they go and see it, and they see grapes that are so beautiful. They have to carry it with two guys, have to carry one cluster of grapes. It's so big. And sure enough, it flows with milk and honey. But they also saw some other things, like walled cities and very, very tall people, and it looks very fortified and all of these types of things. So the 12 spies come back, and they give their report, and this is what I want you to notice from this. Numbers chapter 13, and let's look in verse number 27. And they told him and said, "We came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Otherites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, underline it, and said, "Let us go up once and possess it." Notice what he's saying, "for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, you can underline that word again, said, no, we be not able to go up. They're southerners. "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up, notice this, an evil report. Notice what God calls evil, doubt and unbelief. Speaking with what I see from here, and not from what I see from here, God calls that an evil report. And watch this, "of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone through and search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." That was a lie. Not all of them, just some of them. "And there we saw the giants," fear always exaggerates, "and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of our own giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Now, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1, but before we do, let me ask you a question. So you got 12 spies going in the land. You got two spies in Joshua and Caleb coming back with like this amazing positive report. And yeah, there's some obstacles there, but we are well able to overcome these obstacles. Look at these grapes. Look at the grapes. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, and God is with us. That's what they're saying. So you got two saying that. You got 10, all they're talking about is what's wrong. Like, I know we brought back these grapes, and I know it flows with milk and honey, but everybody in the land are all giants, and there's walled cities, and what are we able to do with it? So you've got, you know, people like you sitting out there, and you've got two people up here saying something positive. You've got 10 people up here saying something negative. Which one do you think is going to carry more sway? Whatever you hear more of. What did we say last week? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let me ask you a question. What do you think is building in these people's hearts? Fear or faith? Fear. Why? They're hearing more of it. They're hearing more of what's wrong and not of what's right. They're meditating more on the bad stuff than they are the good stuff. They're seeing more of the struggle than they are of the strength. And here's the secret to life, friend. In every season of life, on this side of heaven, there is always a struggle and there is always a strength every single time. The key is what you choose to focus on. They're focusing solely on the struggle, and you got two people over here trying to bring them back to the strength. But what is building in their heart is fear. Now, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to do something. It starts to leak. It starts to speak. If you believe it, friend, over time, it's going to work its way out of your mouth. If it gets in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. And all of a sudden, all of this fear and all of this concern and really all of this bitterness for the people who let them into this situation, it begins to come out of their mouth. And they move on to the second stage. They begin to say it with their mouth because these spies put it in their heart. And watch what happens here. And Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up, underline it, their voice and said, and the people wept all night. And all the children of Israel murmured, what's that? That's speaking negatively about Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in this wilderness. This is what they're saying, because this is what's in their heart. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land, that we fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Notice verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of the Japhelah, which were of them which searched the land, they rent their clothes. And notice, they said unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we had passed through it and searched it, it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us up into this land. He will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people in this land, for they are bread for us. I love his spirit of faith. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Notice verse 10, but all the congregation bade to stone them with stones. This is just amazing, the negativity that is coming from these people. Now you would think, well, this is just it. They had a bad day. And so with this, you know, sure, they got some fear in their heart and they said it with their mouth and with that. But the way we create the life we have, not just the life you want, this is how you got where you are. The way we create life is if it gets in my heart, and I say it with my mouth, it is only a matter of time before I see it with my eyes. And I want you to see what happens here as God is listening to all of this further in Numbers chapter 14. Notice in verse number 22. Because all of those men which have seen my glory, this is God talking, seen my glory, they've seen my miracles, which I did all throughout Egypt and in the wilderness, have now tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I, notice, which I swore, what is that? Which I spoke unto their fathers, neither shall they see any of them that provoked me, see it. So God said, I'm saying I want you to see the promised land. But notice, it is not by God's words that I am justified or condemned. Whose words justify me? Whose words condemn me? Mine do. And so with this, God says, look, I know I said this over you. I know I spoke this, that this is where your life's going to go, but your words are going to overmine my words for your life because you spoke from a place of fear. And notice what happens here in verse 24. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, notice, with him, and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed will possess it. Now notice verse 26. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmured against me? Underline it, this is huge. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. And say unto them, all of this you can underline, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered with you, according to the whole number, from the 20 years old and upward, which you have murmured against me, doubtless you will not come into this land concerning which I spoke to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. Why Caleb and Joshua? They are the two spies over here who had something different in their heart, said something different with their mouth, so they saw something different in their life. God's given us, you, the power to create a blank canvas. And the brush that we use to create the life we want is believing with our heart and speaking with our mouth. I believe 100% that this process has played out over the course of however long you've been alive, that the words you have spoken and the words other people have spoken over you, that you believed in your heart and you said with your mouth, you've seen it in your life. If someone told you a long time ago when you were a kid, you're not smart enough, you're not able enough, you can't do it, who do you think you are? That got in your heart and you begin saying that with your mouth, and fear kept you from even attempting to create a great life because something convinced you at age 8 it didn't belong to you. Then God could even have plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But unless you get those plans in your heart and get those plans in your mouth, you will never walk in those plans in your life. What do you want to create? What type of marriage do you want to create? What type of wife, what type of husband would you like to live with? Call them that way. What type of kids would you like? Call them that way, to their face. Call them that way. You are kind. You're so sweet. Man, you're so disciplined. I couldn't be more thrilled with who you are. Even in correction, you're better than that. The reason why you're getting in trouble right now is because you're such an amazing kid. You mess up once or twice, but man, I tell you what, you fix it so fast, and this is just helping you fix it faster. You're an amazing kid, and I couldn't be more proud of you. Wonder if that would change behavior. Wonder if we looked at our hands and said, you know, hands, everything that you touch, I'm going to call you prosperous. And everything that you touch, it just seems like favor gets all over that thing. It's like I can't stop winning. It's just all around me. It just seems like the favor of God is like surrounding me with a shield. What if with our fears, instead of being like the children of Israel, we sat on the sidelines? What if we were more like David and said, who do you think you are that you should defile God? You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to cut your head off, and the birds are going to eat your carcass. He said it with his mouth because he believed it in his heart. He saw it with his eyes. Jesus spoke to this fig tree. It withered up from the roots, and the disciples were amazed at it. He made sure when he spoke to the fig tree, the disciples heard it. It wasn't that he was mad at the disciples. He was trying to teach them how life worked. Jesus was always teaching. He was a master instructor. He knew he only had 3 years, so when he spoke to the fig tree, he made sure his disciples heard it. Peter comes back to him and says, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, it withered up from the roots. Jesus turned to him and said, have faith in God. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus in the New Testament, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he says, if you get it in your heart and you say it with your mouth and you believe it's going to happen, he said, it's coming. You might not see anything right now. It may be working from the roots up. But over the process of time, you're going to create a brand new life to live in. Life and death, they're in the power of the tongue. You get to pick. Blessing and cursing, it's in your mouth. Your answer and your problem is 1 inch under your nose. It's amazing. James said, your mouth, it's like the rudder on a ship. You can point it any way you want. Any way a ship captain wants that ship to go, he just points the rudder that way. James said, so is your mouth, the words that come out of it. You get your words going in that direction, your life will follow suit each and every time. The problem is we live in a world that thrives on negativity. And guess what? We go in the direction we believe in our heart, and we speak with our mouth every single time. And it's for us as Christians to come up and say, you know what? We're not going to allow questions like, how are you doing, to elicit such a negative response. It doesn't mean we lie. We could be saying, well, you know, I've seen better days, but I know God is turning this around, and God's grace and his favor is on my life. And I don't know how or when, but I do know God will make a way where there is no way. It's not about trying to be pseudo-happy. It's about coming back that I am not going to live by what I see and be like Thomas that says, unless I see it or touch it, I will not believe. Jesus came to him and said, be not faithless, but believing. I'm not going to be that way. I am not going to speak from what I see. I'm going to speak from what I believe. I'm going to major on my strength and not on my struggle, and I am going to watch God help me eliminate the struggle so I can have more of the strength. Amen. You've been a fantastic audience. Maybe the hour of sleep helped us all, but you were fantastic this morning. Fantastic. 8:30, we honor you. We love you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people. Such an honor to speak into their lives. Stir up our hearts to speak with our mouth. I hear this in my heart. Now you've heard, so speak. Open up your mouth and speak life. Speak blessings over yourself. Call your body what you want it to be. Call your finances what you want them to be. Call your family what you want it to be. Call your health what you want it to be. Call yourself what you want to be. Follow suit after Jesus, who constantly talked about who he was, I am, and he would follow up with something positive. Speak that over yourself. I am. Speak that over your wife. She is. Speak that over your husband. He is. Speak that over your children. They are. Speak that over your life. We are going, and speak in a positive direction. And you will see the Holy Spirit working with you, confirming the words that you speak with signs following those words. So be bold to lift up your voice. Be bold to lift up your mouth and watch heaven come out. Watch it surround you, strengthen you, and build you. Be bold as a lion and aggressively attack the life that's been trying to attack you with faith. Take it with force, the words of your mouth. Be bold and be strong with your confession, and you will see that situation turn, and you will see God's power flood your canvas and turn your life into a beautiful work of art. Thank you, Lord, for it. We'll do it. We'll do it, Father. We'll not just be hearers of it. We'll be doers of it as well. We love you, Lord. Father, bless these people. Let them be strong in you and the power of your might. Now, thank you, Father. They have a marvelous week. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoyed the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.